This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 12:03 on now this Thursday morning. The tournament is here. The madness. The madness is upon us. We are. It is game day. St. John's tips off tonight, 9:45. Let's go. 888-808-1019. Nick Monagle here with you on The Fan, filling in for Keith. Got you for another 2 hours. I should have double-checked, but I'm pretty sure Al Cintron will be on it. No. EJ Stewart. I'm sorry. Sorry, EJ. EJ Stewart will be on 2 a.m. So he'll take you through the overnights into the morning as we get ready for St. John's game day. 888-808-1019. We opened up talking about Aaron Rodgers. A little bit of Yankees following the Yankee spring training game. And we'll get into a little bit more about the Yankee rotation, but we opened up with Aaron Rodgers as we did find out today or yesterday now that the Minnesota Vikings, the team that Aaron Rodgers has been waiting for, has declined bringing him aboard. It sounds like the Vikings are out, just reports, you know, you never know, but reports are the Vikings are out. They're going to go with J.J. McCarthy. And now Aaron Rodgers, as we continue to wait for his decision, has two teams left. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Giants. And for me, the longer he takes, and this is coming from someone who wants Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback of the New York Giants, the longer he takes, the better it is for the New York Giants. I think they are poised to win a waiting game. They're not in the same position as Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a playoff team. Pittsburgh is a team that has consistently, you know, has a good roster, has one of the best coaches in the NFL, just traded for DK Metcalf. Expected to win, have standards. When you say it that way, it sounds like the Giants don't, and they don't. But they're expected to win, expected to compete. They can't wait around for Aaron Rodgers and allow another quarterback like the one they just had in Russell Wilson to go elsewhere. Like they don't have the third pick in their back pocket with the ability of the Giants to just draft a quarterback and start one from day one. There is no rush for the New York Giants. There is no better option. The difference between Russell Wilson, and we'll get into whether or not Russell Wilson wants the Giants and for what reasons, and why I would prefer Aaron Rodgers and his motivation over the motivation of Russell Wilson. But there is Aaron Rodgers is the only quarterback who I still think can be a legitimate good quarterback in this league. I honestly think Aaron Rodgers is still capable of being a top 15 minimum quarterback in this league. I don't think any of the other options are. So if I'm waiting to give this young quarterback that I'm going to draft, and they better draft one, a veteran quarterback, Aaron Rodgers is the only one I care about, and I'll wait. I'll wait forever because I know I'm drafting a young quarterback, and I'm not in the same position. The Pittsburgh Steelers fans are furious. They haven't won a playoff game in years. They haven't won a playoff game since Ben Roethlisberger. They've had bad quarterback play. Russell Wilson cost them last year. And they don't have time to wait. They don't have the ability. What if he picks the New York Giants for whatever reason? And I do think there are reasons why the New York Giants are a good landing spot for Aaron Rodgers. They can't wait around and let these other quarterbacks sign and go elsewhere. They need to make a decision on their quarterback. They don't have the option of just going to the backup or going to the drafted quarterback. And for the Giants and their coaching staff and their, like, they have the ability to sit back, take that quarterback, and prove themselves that way. They can either try and win to appease the owner or develop the quarterback to show that they have something going on for the future to save their job. So either way, whatever's going on with Aaron Rodgers, it was a good day for the New York Giants. Minnesota being out eliminates the team he wants and opens it up to coming back to New York. And the waiting game for me is more, if the longer he goes without just picking the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think the Giants are better suited for it. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Let's go to Kevin in Florida. What's up, Kev?
What's going on, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Nothing. I like it when you're on earlier. I don't like waiting all night for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I got a baseball question real quick. I just want to make sure. You said the Giants got to draft a QB. In my opinion, I agree. But I don't think it should be in the first round. I think at that number 3 overall pick, if you can get Carter or Hunter, you take that. And then maybe you take, you know, a Jackson Dart or a Will Howard later on. But I wouldn't touch Deion's kid or Cam Ward in the first round if you can get Hunter or Carter.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree with you. I'd rather have one of the two best quarterbacks in the draft.
Would you rather have Ward or?
I would rather have Ward. I would love to trade up to number. I want to trade up to number one and take Ward. But I would take Sanders. I think you look at Sanders. He's turned around two different programs. He's lived in the limelight. He's made money. He's been rich. Like I don't think he's gonna. You know, I don't think the pitfalls that have befallen some other players in New York would fall Deion Sanders' son. Like I don't think it would. I think he can throw. I think he's accurate, and I think he's played behind bad offensive lines and been successful. I think Shedeur Sanders would be successful with the Giants, and if he's there at 3 is my only option, and I wasn't able to go get Ward, I would absolutely take Shedeur Sanders at 3.
I mean, if he is a Giant, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope he is good. So, you know, believe me, I'll meet you halfway on that. But my baseball question. So
yes.
Obviously, the American League is filled with mediocrity teams, and unfortunately, a week out from opening day, I think you can include the New York Yankees in that. Of all the mediocre teams, like we saw last year, you know, Kansas City kind of emerged, you know, Detroit had a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the mediocre teams in the AL, who do you think, if you had to pick one team to win 95 games out of nowhere, like, you know, the Texas Rangers or maybe like, you know, the Seattle Mariners or someone, mm-hmm. who do you think it would be?
Well, I mean, if you're putting the Texas Rangers at the champion 2 years ago as the team out of nowhere, then I would pick them because I think if Jacob DeGrom is healthy, they might have the best starter in all of baseball. I still think that offense that was down last year, if Seager stays healthy, Garcia had such a miserable year, I'd expect him to have a bounce back. So I would say them. I would say the Boston Red Sox are the second. I think the Boston Red Sox have done a lot. Their rotation is going to be far better with Crochet and with Walker Buehler. They've got some options offensively, plus they have a couple of kids waiting in the wings. They have the best top prospects in all the game. So I think there's a very good chance Boston's good. I would expect, you know, I don't know about Texas. I mean, the Tigers, rather. I think they had, whenever you have that bounce back, when you have that year out of nowhere, sometimes it's hard to rally and follow that up. I could see them taking a step back. But I don't think it's Houston. I don't think it's Cleveland. I don't think it could be the Royals, but 95 wins, I would give you the Rangers and the Red Sox for 95 wins.
Yeah, I mean, and then last question, the Yankees. We're 1 week out from opening day. Are we being too negative, or
yes,
are they really in big trouble?
No, we're being way too negative.
Because and one last point before I let you go. I'm Mr. Positive. I'm saying everyone relax. It could be Memorial Day weekend, and we could be, you know, 35-15 and forget about all that. And I think that that's a possibility, that we're all just overreacting with the Yankees. There is problems, but, you know, I like what I'm seeing from Dominguez. I like what I'm seeing from Austin Wells. You know, it looks like Ben Rice is going to win that DH spot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, okay, you know, hey, we didn't have Gerrit Cole for half the year last year, and we went to the World Series. So I think if we just be positive, you know, Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge. I think all these negative factors about the Yankees are going to be gone by June, July.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kev. I mean, I hope that. I don't think they'll be gone. I think we'll still be talking about them. I wouldn't expect just a dominant season. That'd be nice. I think it's more likely than just an absolute fall on their face season. But I would tell you this. Yeah, I'm starting to get excited. We are now officially a week away from opening day, and I think right now, as Aaron Boone said after the game, that Carrasco is probably in the rotation, or at least set himself up to be in the rotation. He's been really good. Max Fried's been really good, and I think he's still an ace of the staff and an ace inside Major League Baseball. I think this team is going to be good. And you look at offensively, you're right. Like, they got shut out by the Braves tonight, but you look at the game earlier in the day and some of the guys who are having good seasons. Like, I was told that trying Dominguez in left field was going to ruin him. It was going to ruin his confidence. He wasn't going to be able to hit on top of it. It was like he's got three hits yesterday. He's hit home runs the other way. He's been good. Bellinger's been incredibly good. Now, it's just spring training numbers, but these guys, you know, it's important for them to show that, like, that they can hit. And right now, Bellinger's having as good a spring as anyone in baseball. I think that Dominguez has been good, and you're right, Ben Rice has been absolutely killing it. Ben Rice has put on 15 pounds of muscle, and he's hitting the ball as hard as anyone in spring training. And he has been he had another home run earlier yesterday. He's going to be the DH. They like him. They think he can hit. I think he's had a really great spring. What you're seeing from the backup catcher, what you're seeing from Reyes, who's probably going to be the utility, who could be the 26th man on this in this roster, he's been hitting well. Before his little bit of a back issue, you saw that Goldschmidt was really driving the ball the other way. I'm excited about the offense, I'm starting to really come around on the idea of Wells as the leadoff hitter. It's not ideal, it's not perfect, but if you look at it, he's going to get a ton of fastballs. And he was, for the second half of last year, a top five offensive catcher in the game. The second half of the season, that's what Wells was. He cooled off in the playoffs, no doubt, but he's got an opportunity for a full season after finding himself halfway through to get a lot of fastballs in front of Judge, have some pop taken, you know, into the short porch in right field. Plus, it creates a lot of athleticism. Like, all the doom and gloomers and the Met fan haters and everything will say, oh, they're old. They're not old. This Yankee team is going to be a lot more exciting than people want to give it credit for. They're a lot more athletic. They're better defensively. They've got a lot more speed than they had last year. A full season of Dominguez, a full season of Jazz, you know, Volpe. Those three guys run like hell. Bellinger can move. Like, if you look at it, that the Yankees are old, I don't know why people keep saying that. Like, if you look at the people who are going to play, yeah, DJ LeMay, who's old, he's not going to play. And the only way he would play is if he was hitting like crazy, so I wouldn't care that he's old. Stanton right now, who knows when we see him? So if you look at the starting lineup for opening day, you look at this team, you've got a 37-year-old Goldschmidt. Show me someone else who's 30 years old besides the best hitter in the world, Judge. Like, that's it. Everybody's 30 or under. Everybody. And they've got speed. They have potential to have four different guys give you 20-20 seasons. They're gonna try and create runs at the bottom and steal bases and do a lot of different things. They've got pop at the top with Judge and Wells and Bellinger and Goldschmidt. And then it transitions into some speed and power with Jazz, Dominguez, Volpe. Like, yeah, you know, listen, there is a gaping hole at third base. I've been screaming about it forever. I know it's not going to change now. We're a week away from the season. And honestly, there's still, you know, Cabrera gives you a little bit of, injection of youth, some ability to run. Peraza's excellent defensively. And that's the other thing. Defensively, they're going to be really good. Dominguez has a question in left, no doubt. But Bellinger's good in center. Judge is great in right. Whoever's playing third has shown you the ability to play it. Volpe's a Gold Glove winner. Jazz can play second base. Goldschmidt's a Gold Glove caliber first baseman. And Wells showed you he could catch. Like, defensively, they're going to be better. Athletically, they're going to be better. The lineup is going to be deeper. Like, there's reason for excitement. And the rotation, Will Warren has shown up in camp and had a really great spring. He's probably not going to start the year with the rotation because they can't afford to lose Carrasco, and he's been great. Not just good, great in spring. And I still think they have an ace in Fried, and the back end of the bullpen who we saw last night, the airbender himself, Devin Williams, is one of the best closers in the game. And Weaver has the potential to go multiple innings, and we saw what he could do in the bullpen. Like, the back end of the bullpen is as good as any in baseball, and I think they're better defensively, they're more athletic, the lineup is deeper, and the rotation, despite the injuries, which we're getting Luis Gil back, still has an ace. And has, like, some different things. Like, I still think as a number two, Rodon is, you know, a average to slightly below average number two. And will win you a hell of a lot of games over the course of the regular season. He's overpaid. That's the problem. He's overpaid. It was a bad contract. He's not what they paid for. He's not that second ace to Gerrit Cole. But they went out and found him in Max Fried, hopefully. But over the course of the regular season, Rodon's going to pitch to a 3.5 ERA and win you a lot of games with this Yankee team. So, like, Clark Schmidt, who's probably not going to start the year because he hasn't been built up enough, will eventually join the team sometime in early April. Will Warren will be sitting there for when Cookie Carrasco eventually is no longer good, but you ride that as long as you can. Same thing with Stroman. There's the ability to add come the trade deadline at the rotation. Like, there is no reason to panic. The New York Yankees, to me, are still the team to beat in this American League. They're the defending champs, and nothing has changed. I know they lost Juan Soto, but until other teams step up, there's no question the nemesis, the Houston Astros, have taken a step back. Like, until someone beats the Yankees are the best team in the American League. It's not as clear-cut, and the rotation, which was supposed to be a force, is not that. It's just average. But it's still good enough to win a lot of games. And when you add that with the back of the bullpen and the depth of the lineup, I'm really not overly concerned. We got to see how it goes. But so far, and I was joking before and I had Marco laughing, I know that we say it for a reason because it's true, especially with a veteran team like the Yankees, with expectations like the Yankees and Mets for that matter, get through spring healthy. It's all that matters. And the Yankees failed at that disastrously. So I get it. Besides the shooting, how is the play, Mrs. Lincoln? I get it. But besides the injuries, they've gotten as many good answers as they could have hoped for. Stroman's been okay. Carrasco's been great. Will Warren's been great. So they've lost Cole for the year, and they've lost Luis Gil for the first half of the season. And the two guys replacing them, arguably, in Stroman and Carrasco and the depth of Will Warren, have really been positive answers. It's not as good as the guys who are gone, but you've got to feel a hell of a lot better about it since when the injuries first took place with watching them pitch over the course of spring training. And then all the guys you were looking for to have good offensive springs have. You got to replace Giancarlo Stanton with someone. Ben Rice is absolutely tearing the cover off the ball. Now, he's got a lot to prove. He's a rookie, and we've seen guys tear the cover off the ball in spring before. But he's bulked up. He's hitting it harder than he did last year. And he's proven that he can hit AAA pitching. Let's see what he could do at the major league level, given an opportunity, and I think he will be. Bellinger coming over to a new team, having an incredible spring. Dominguez having a really good offensive spring, and I haven't seen a single botched play in left field over the last week and a half. Jazz Chisholm just hit one a mile. Like, the guys you're looking for to have productive spring trainings are doing it. So despite the injuries, which, again, are far more important than anything else, I'm not trying to run from it, but if you're looking for answers from guys in spring, both teams, really, if you look at the Mets rotation, all the depth that they've had while they're dealing with their injuries, you don't know how long Manaea is going to be out. Probably not overly that long, but could be the entire month of April. You don't know. Probably not more than that. That's probably worst case scenario. But say he misses April. You've got, obviously, Montas gone for probably half the year. And every single person you're looking to step up in that Mets rotation has been incredible. Clay Holmes, the opening day starter, has been unhittable in the spring. David Peterson just gave you another great outing. Griffin Canning is pitching incredibly well. They've got the lowest ERA in all of spring. I mean, so all the answers you're looking for from the Mets, Beatty's killing it and making diving plays at second base. We were screaming about end spring training. That's pretty much a injury issue, which is the most important part again. But if you look at the actual numbers and you look at the actual players and you look at the guys who you needed to show something almost exclusively for both the Yankees and the Mets, you're getting positive reinforcement and positive answers from almost every question you have other than, are they good enough at third base? And how are they going to deal with these injuries? Eventually, is it going to catch up with them? But all the guys you're looking to fill in for those injuries have had really good springs. So we'll see where it goes. But as we are a week away, I'm extremely excited for this Yankee team. And obviously, the Mets are going to be damn good. Let's go to Brett on the Upper East Side. What's up, Brett?
Chris, what's going on? How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Looks like you and I were right with Rodgers to the Giants, looking like the most likely possibility.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know if we were right or not. I've never really been that high that it's going to happen. I've just been high on the idea that it should, and if I'm the Giants, I want it to. But if you look at it now, to me, the longer it goes, for two different reasons. One, I think the Giants are in a better position to wait than the Steelers. And two, the Steelers are the obvious choice. Like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. Like, they have the better roster, they have the more proven coach, they have the more stable franchise, they have two really good wide receivers, and they've got a better defense with a great defensive player and the most stabilizing force as a head coach that the league has seen over the last 20 years. So, like, if it's between the Giants and Pittsburgh, every day that Rodgers doesn't just run to take the contract in Pittsburgh makes me think that he's contemplating either retirement, unfortunately, or going to the Giants. So every day this goes on, the better and better it gets for the New York Giants to possibly land him.
Facts, agreed completely. I actually think retirement is likely. Also, why not him just maybe waiting out an injury to a QB in the preseason?
That could be part of it. He could be waiting for something along those lines. I don't know how long he's willing to wait. But there's definitely something along those lines. You know, J.J. McCarthy is coming off a knee surgery, and he had another surgery on it. I don't think it was a full surgery, but I do believe he had to get opened up a second time just to clean something out. So, like, we don't know where he's going to be with that knee. Maybe he's waiting to see if, and again, it's just reports that Minnesota is out. We don't know that for a fact until Minnesota comes out and says it. But maybe they're still contemplating it. Maybe he feels they're still contemplating it. Or maybe he's just waiting to see if J.J. McCarthy is healthy enough with that knee when they start ramping stuff up. So you're absolutely right. I think he's just playing the long game because there's no rush.
I think 100%. And why would he rush? Like, why he doesn't want to do training camp and all that stuff. He just
I don't know if he's going to wait. I mean, we'll see how long if he waits through training camp. And, like, I don't know if he waits all that long, but maybe. He's definitely in a position to do that. I mean, we'll see. I don't know if the Giants, if he waits through the draft and the Giants don't take a quarterback in the top first two rounds and Russell Wilson's still out there, then it starts to get to a point where they definitely want to bring in a veteran, especially if they draft a Jackson Dart or someone later. If they pass on Shedeur Sanders at three, or they can't trade up to one and get Cam Ward, and they draft a somewhat of a quote-unquote project quarterback in the second or third round, they are absolutely going to want a veteran quarterback. And at that point, I don't know, depending on if Pittsburgh hasn't made a decision or if Minnesota is still up in the air or whatever the case may be, the idea that Rodgers might retire. If at that point they get the feeling on some level that it's a long shot to sign him, then you have to be willing to do the quarterback, and you have to willing just take who you think is the next best. So that's where the waiting ends kind of for the Giants. If they trade up to get Cam Ward, then I have no problem waiting for forever. Because worst case scenario, they don't get Aaron Rodgers. They'll just start Ward from day one. If they draft Shedeur Sanders, if they take a quarterback with that third pick, unless it's Jackson Dart, which I heard Pat Boyle talking yesterday in the overnights as I was driving home, that he believes Jackson Dart at three is a legitimate option for the New York Giants, or that he thinks they could do that. I don't know if they would. I don't know if they would take Jackson Dart number three, but they might need a quarterback that desperate. And if they like Dart, there's no guarantee you get back into the first round to get him. We've seen that. So, I mean, that is on the table. But if they take a quarterback, even if it's Jackson Dart, who, you know, in that Ole Miss offense, many people think he needs a year. It wasn't an NFL offense. Of all the quarterbacks, he could probably use the year as much as anyone. But if they take a quarterback with that number third pick, then I'm okay with waiting for Aaron Rodgers till the beginning of the season, or however long before I feel I can get him into, you know, obviously camp or whatever. But because worst case scenario, I don't have to run to go get Russell Wilson. I don't have to run to go get Jameis Winston. I can pick up whoever as a backup quarterback and just start the season with the quarterback I drafted in the top three picks. But if they wait, if they get Jackson Dart in the second round, or they take Howard in the third round, or they take Milroe in the third round, or something along those lines, then I desperately need a veteran. And I don't know if I can wait for Aaron Rodgers to turn me down. So I think that's probably where the waiting game ends. After the draft, they're going to have an idea.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Idea.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 12:33, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Even more reasons why I think the Giants should sign Aaron Rodgers, because reports are Russell Wilson wants to be a New York Giant, but we know why. We know why. It's really not about winning. It's not about the best place. He doesn't want to resurrect his career. I mean, I know his career did take him to the playoffs last year with Pittsburgh. He wants to come here and he wants to be a socialite. He wants to play for New York. He wants to bring his wife here. He wants to up his Q rating. He wants to figure out a way to get, you know, into the New York scene. They'll be at the Met Gala. They'll, you know, he'll be the quarterback of the New York Giants. Like, and maybe this is self, maybe this is unfair. Maybe I'm being unfair to him, but that's what it feels like. It feels like him and Sierra will be able to accomplish things they want to accomplish for their personal goals and stuff. And I'm not saying he won't come here and work or won't come here and play well or won't come here and, you know, work his ass off and try to help the Giants win. I'm just saying the reason he wants the Giants, for one of two reasons. One, nobody else seems to be all that interested. Pittsburgh doesn't want him back. And two, I just think that he wants the New York market as opposed to what Aaron Rodgers would be coming here for. And maybe you could say part of it would be he's picking the Giants because his home and because of, you know, he's just built a place in New Jersey and he's comfortable here and he likes the people in the building, blah, blah, blah. But it would be to come here and resurrect his career. It would be to come here and save his name. It would be to come here and have one last chance to prove he's still Aaron Rodgers. And even at his age, he could be a great football player. Like, that's what I'd rather have a pissed off, motivated Aaron Rodgers doing it for the reasons, even if it's not team-related, even if it's not coming here to save the Giants, even if it's not coming here to, you know, restore this once proud franchise or to win a Super Bowl, even if it's to come here and for personal success and complete selfish reasons, I'd still prefer those selfish reasons to, hey, I want to go to the Met Gala. Hey, I want to be on the scene. Hey, I want to go to the Knick game and, you know, be on the big screen. Like, and that's really why Rodgers would come here. I mean, that's why, excuse me, that's why I got to change the channel because Eastbound and Down is on. I haven't seen the show in forever. It's making me laugh. I haven't seen Eastbound and Down. That's on True TV. Unless one of the, it was on Channel 52, unless someone in the newsroom changed the TVs back there to something else. But Eastbound and Down is hilarious. I haven't seen that in forever.
How much of that has to get bleeped out on True
TV? That's what I'm curious about.
True TV one of those cable channels like IFC that can air stuff pretty much unedited?
Yeah, at this time of night, maybe, because I was watching it, and like the opening of the episode was his old flame love interest was having sex with her new guy. That was the opening of the show. I was like, geez.
Do you watch The Righteous Gemstones?
I've seen it. I don't watch it. I've seen episodes of it.
Came back 2 weeks ago. Incredible first
episode. Really? Yeah, I mean, listen, it's very funny. And what's his name? the actor who's also now in The White Lotus, he was in the Walton Goggins. He was in that, and he was in that short-lived Vice Principals show with him as well. That scene with him and Sam Rockwell, I mean, it is...
Well, and it's already become a meme, Walton Goggins' reaction. No doubt. And if you saw the scene,
yes,
it's something you will laugh at every time.
No doubt. And it was perfect. His face was perfect. And Sam Rockwell, who I would argue is one of the better actors of this generation, I think he's phenomenal. He is one of the great actors of this time. And his monologue, I can't mention it, it's completely filthy. But if you are into The White Lotus like my wife is, I mean, she's obsessed with it. Obsessed. Although I do have to give myself credit. I did predict a trend. One of the younger characters, the young son of the family in the show, was wearing like a white alligator flower Hawaiian shirt, and I turned to my wife and I said, "That shirt is freaking awesome." I said, "I got to get one of those shirts. That shirt is brilliant." And now it's become like a cultural thing. They were writing stories about how everyone's searching out the company that made the shirt, and they're trying to sell. They've sold out everywhere on it. So I do have a keen eye for fashion because I pointed that out watching it live, and it's become a thing. But there's also another meme that's coming out of it because. That one of the main characters who's dealing with his business falling apart and he might go to prison is considering ending it all. And he's sitting there in the dark with a pistol and a Duke shirt on. And so, like, everyone is saying this is going to be the meme all over the place if Duke is to get upset in the tournament early on.
Right. If Duke loses in the next couple weeks and you see that all over social media, that's why.
That's why. That it's from White Lotus. If you see a guy with a pistol wearing a Duke shirt, that's why. But yeah, this scene with Rockwell, I mean, it's such a weird monologue and, you know, dark and twisted. And the face that he, the agape face of just disbelief in what he's hearing was so perfect. I mean, it was perfect. That was one hell of a scene. I'm not the biggest fan of the show. My wife adores it. I really liked the first season. I thought the second season was okay. And the third season here, I'm just, I don't know. It's all right.
It's been until that last episode.
This last episode
woke everybody up.
Yeah, that scene was hilarious.
What a night for Walton Goggins. He has that moment. He becomes a meme that'll live on for probably a long time. Yeah. And then the next hour in The Righteous Gemstones, full frontal nudity, where he plays a guy 30 or 20 years older than he really is.
Oh, really? So he's back with Righteous Gemstones. He's on that show still? Yeah, so he's doing a lot of stuff for HBO. But, yeah, no, the scene with him and Rockwell was just, with Sam Rockwell was unbelievable. It was so funny. And, yeah, two memes from that show that are going to be everywhere for a long time. 888-808-1019. So, yeah, I'd rather have the motivated Aaron Rodgers pissed off at the world looking to recapture his glory as opposed to a socialite coming here. And that's what it feels like. And maybe that's unfair, but that's what it feels like from Russell Wilson. It feels like he's been meaning to come here, wanting to come here for a while. You know, all the other stuff we hear, like people want to say that Rodgers is this cancer in the room. I mean, well, I've talked about this before. His Seattle teammates can't even get in touch with him. They got to go through his PR staff if they want to make a phone call to talk to their teammate. Like, they couldn't stand him by the end. He goes to Denver. He has all these demands. Like, you know, what's worse? Hey, what do you think about bringing Alan Lazard here? You know, I've worked with him. It's someone who could come in here. I trust him. He could help, you know, implement the offense, help the other wide receivers. Is that worse? Or, like, I want an office. I want a corner office. I want a secretary. I want the playbook run through me before it even hits the other players. Like, what? Like, I mean, We're picking on Aaron Rodgers because he says things we don't like. Let's be honest. Like, and he does things we don't necessarily approve. And he went on a trip to Egypt and missed a mandatory practice, which for him at his age, veteran, knowing that offense, it ain't mandatory. Tom Brady missed a hell of a lot of training camp. Nobody gave a damn. Nobody gave a damn. Michael Strahan last season didn't want to play, didn't want any part of Giants training camp. Nobody got on him. Maybe they did. I don't remember. Maybe there were stories written. I'm sure there were. But I don't remember the fan base giving all that much of a damn. I certainly don't remember that. So I would love Aaron Rodgers on this team would be perfect for me. I'm looking forward to it. 888-808-1019. Today is obviously also the tournament. We talked about that a little bit as the Johnnies will tip off tonight at 9:45 against Omaha. And I told you, this is, to me, these are two big games. I don't, you know, when you get to this point, when you're a two seed, like, I understand the run is unexpected. I understand that with Patino and the money that they've been afforded here, and they're turning around the facilities and they're willing to pay for guys, and it feels like Patino is kind of, instead of running away, and I thought he did an interview with Barstool and Big Cat, and I thought Big Cat had like a, you know, in this generation of coaches that we've seen run away from this new era of college sports, run away, want no part of being, you know, in this portal and NIL and paying players. And we've seen some of the great coaches in the country, great coaches in college sports, run away from it and say, forget this. I'm too old to change, and I don't really feel like being a part of it. Patino's kind of leaned into it. I mean, he's kind of leaned into it. He's changing his team through the portal. He's openly talking about the idea that they won't even look at high school players. Like, I just can't get over that. I don't. Maybe I'm naive, and maybe it has been this way for a while, and maybe it's not that crazy of a statement. But what kind of college program isn't interested in recruiting high school students at all? Like, that's where we are. I'm going to look at the portal and get a bunch of 22-year-olds. Like, that's where they are. And he's embraced it, and he talked about in the interview that he's been in the NBA before, so he's dealt with this. It's, you know, it's similar to the European game, which obviously he was in Greece for a little bit. So, I mean, he's embraced this. He's attacked it. And there's no reason to believe that this program isn't on good footing moving forward. I'm not saying that. But whenever, even if you have a surprise season, it's fun, it's nice, there's no expectations. But once you're here, like, once you're here, you want to stamp this season. You want to make it a significant year. You don't want to bow out. You don't want to lose to Arkansas and Calipari in the second round. You certainly don't want to lose to Omaha as a two seed. But even in this, you don't want even Bill Self in Kansas, who've been a staple of this tournament and, you know, had a disappointing season. You lose that game, and suddenly, is it, you know, it's a great year. It was a lot of fun. I feel good about the future. Patino's the man. Turn this thing around. You know, we'll go get him next year. But ultimately, this year, the dominance they've shown, the winning the Big East regular season, winning the Big East tournament, doing it relatively easy, even down at the half in the final two games, just dominating in the second half. Like, all of that feels a little bit, all right, then it just becomes the first step of a journey, maybe, as opposed to a real impressive season. Like, they got it in this bracket. You lose to Texas Tech, you can live with it. You lose to Florida, obviously, you can live with it. Besides that, even as they get down the line here, even if you get to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, and, like, you lose a game to a lesser team, it's not going to feel as special, and certainly these first two. So to me, I know I heard Sal and a couple of people talk about, hey, what, they've already done it. They've already had the turnaround. We already feel different about the program. Patino's already proved he can handle a winner. This team's already given us enough fun, already given us enough excitement, already shown us how tough they are, both mentally and physically, in the way they play defense and what they've done in the Big East tournament. Like, the rest is gravy. And I'm not a big subscriber in gravy. I got to be totally honest with you, despite what you may have heard. I'm not that big a gravy guy. I think when you get this opportunity, they're a two seed right now. Next year, they might be great. Who knows? But you can't guarantee me there'll be a two seed in this tournament. Who knows? You can't guarantee me they'll win the Big East. They have an opportunity right now to really go on a run and stamp this year as not only a comeback, but an incredible season. And it only starts after the first two rounds. Like, you have to get to the Sweet 16. You have to get there. If they're not in the Sweet 16, not saying the year's a disaster, not saying it's a failure, not saying we're going to criticize the team overly, it's still going to be what it was. But it won't be as special. And we won't have the same reverence for it. And I referenced the Mets. Like, it's very similar to the Mets. If the Mets would have lost in the wild card round, if Pete Alonso hits into a double play as opposed to hitting the go-ahead home run, great run. They're down. They're 11 games under 500. You know, in April or May rather, they go on this incredible run. They have OMG. They have Grimace. Lindor is an MVP candidate. Lindor hits the big home run to finally, you know, beat the Braves in a big spot and go into the playoffs, and all that's true, and all of it's great. And, you know, I would think Juan Soto probably still comes to the Mets. I don't buy the narrative that it was the run to the National League Championship that ultimately what sold him. Like, I don't know. It might have had a role to play, but I still think he's probably a Mets. So there's still excitement. There's still belief Stearns is very smart and the franchise in the best hands it's been in forever when you had the owner and Stearns, and like all of that would still exist. But what would be last year? Would it be the same if they didn't beat Philadelphia? Would it be the same if they didn't have the heroics and beat Milwaukee in the wild card? If they would have lost to a Milwaukee team that then became a sacrificial lamb for Philadelphia and got pounded, like, would you have felt the same? It wouldn't have been as special. The Mets completed it. You don't have to win the championship. You don't even have to get to the World Series. They won a series against Philadelphia. That cemented how special that year was. And I still think St. John's is going to need something similar to it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We have the baseball season starting in Japan. I was talking about that with Otani. I had a caller up who wanted to fight me. I don't know what happened to him. He hung up. What we're seeing from Otani now, he always shows up, man. The guy, he got a couple hits in this game. His first home run, you knew he was going to hit a home run in this thing. Like, we are watching the greatest baseball player to ever live. I know I keep saying it. I've been saying it for a while. I wish I would have said it on Japanese TV. I came this close. Stupid trip to Florida, which I'm going on again in a month. God knows why. But, I mean, we are just watching a special baseball player. We are watching Michael Jordan in his prime. We are watching Wayne Gretzky in his prime. We are watching the greatest to ever do it. I don't know if you could. I don't know how you could argue when he starts pitching that we have never seen someone step on a baseball field and be a better baseball player, capable of more than we see Otani right now. Scary. It's scary. Plus, his contract has set up the Dodgers to be the freaking Death Star. I mean, that's what did it. We could say, yes, they have a high payroll at 380 or whatever it is. Yeah, they signed the two best relievers on the market out of nowhere, towards the end of free agency. Yeah, their lineup is stacked. Yes, their rotation is freaking otherworldly. But it's all been set up by the idea of Otani, that contract, practically playing for free, and the gobs of money they make from him. Because, you know, we can complain about this opening day in Japan. We can complain about it, and we can complain that Fox didn't send the broadcasters, and it didn't have a special feel here in the country, and 3 a.m. is a tough time to go on in the market. Like, the L.A. market for this Dodger team had to wake up at 3 a.m. or never go to sleep or whatever, and we could scream and yell about it. The fact of the matter is 25 million people in Japan watched it, and they watched it for one reason.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 12:55, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. The other Rodgers story that's kind of circulating here is Aaron Rodgers getting little interest from TV for an analyst job because he's insufferable. Now, yes, Rodgers, Pat McAfee on Jimmy Kimmel, I guess, said, yes, he could be a great analyst, but he's insufferable. I said one source, I'm sorry. Rodgers needs to rehab his image. Now, that's an interesting story just based on the idea of, I know, are people just going through this with the idea of him possibly entertaining retirement? So they're assuming that's something he'd be interested in? And so we're speculating on it? Or do you think his people have reached out feelers? Like when it says has little interest, I would think that means has someone put out a feeler on whether or not he'd want to be involved in TV, which makes me think if Aaron Rodgers' camp is putting out feelers with TV about being an analyst, then he's seriously considering retirement. Now, I've seen, I get a lot of why would he would pick retirement over the New York Giants. Again, let me just say this, and maybe I'll do a little bit more of it on the other side. I don't feel, and maybe I'm crazy because I've been down on them as much as anyone, right? Ask Brett in Long Island. I hate the Giants, apparently. I've been down on the Giants. I don't think this team is that far away. Like I don't. I don't know, and I talked about this the other day. Like the New York Giants have been telling everyone who'll listen, and Brian Daboll sure did mention it after beating the Colts and the way Drew Lock played in that game, that this is what happens when you get good quarterback play, and the idea that the Giants are just a good quarterback away from being successful has been something that I'm sure Brian Daboll has tried to, and Joe Shane, have been tried to leak out and trying to impress upon people that, hey, we're good quarterback away. And I don't know about that. Away from what? Away from respectability? Away from being the worst team in the NFL? Away from planes flying over the building? Yeah, I do think that. I do think that. Away from legitimately winning? I don't know. But the idea that they're this barren wasteland, I'm sorry, and maybe I'm being naive. I know they lost a lot of games, but part of it is because the quarterback play is awful. Awful. The Carolina Panthers aren't a very good roster. When Young was terrible, they lost every game. When Young started to play better down the stretch, they started to win some games. Like, the Giants could win some football games. Part of the reason they're this bad, part of the reason they're drafting at the top, is they don't have a quarterback. Same thing with Cleveland, same thing with Tennessee. It's ironic, isn't it, that all these teams at the top could be drafting a quarterback because they're in position to have a quarterback because no quarterback means you're losing. So when I look at it and I see Malik Nabers and I see Slayton and I see Wandell Robinson and I see Theo Johnson, I don't see a dynamic offensive passing attack necessarily, but I see the pieces of it. I see the possibility of it. When I see Andrew Thomas at left tackle and Illuminor and, you know, Runyon coming back and some of the other additions, Van Roten and some of the different minor additions they've made, plus they have the ability to draft offensive linemen. And if you look at the numbers on what they were before Andrew Thomas went down to injury, it wasn't terrible. Can that offensive line be better? Can Tracy be a legitimate running back in this league? Like, that offense isn't horrible. If they could block it up a little bit, they got some weapons for a legitimate quarterback. We all know what Malik Nabers can be. And then you look at the defense and the amount of money they just put into it. The defensive backfield, they added arguably the best cornerback and arguably the best safety in free agency to their team to go along with Newbin and Andrew Phillips, who were very promising rookies in the defensive backfield. Baker gets to move over to cornerback number two now. Plus, you've got the best, arguably the best defensive tackle in the game, and certainly the best at getting pressure on the quarterback. At least he was this year before going down to injury. You've got two other guys in Burns and Thibodeau, who I think Burns is very good, and Thibodeau isn't worth his pick, but still, to me, a somewhat solid defensive end who can get after the quarterback. Certainly not worth his draft status, I'll grant you that, but a fairly good player. Like, what makes you think the Giants are so terrible? I really don't think they're so terrible that Aaron Rodgers coming here, or no matter who comes here, the Giants are going to, oh, the schedule, the division, the roster, they're guaranteed to lose. The NFL is built. The salary cap is built, is structured for teams to have quick turnarounds. And this wouldn't be exactly quick for the New York Giants, but I think they do have some talent where if they got a legitimate quarterback in here and Aaron Rodgers played even to last year's level or slightly better, you could be looking at a 7-8 win team. Easy. That's competitive into December. Competitive. In the mix segment of your screen. You do that, start to build something there, start to build some winning, start to build some confidence while developing a young quarterback. I mean, I don't think the Giants are so far away. I really don't. But they need that quarterback, and they need to draft one desperately.